bracing for Hurricane Florence.
The storm surge could be between 9 and 13 feet.
Coastal residents on the move.
We got our important things out, our pictures and special things.
Money taken from FEMA.
Apparently to pay for immigration detention centers.
This is the CBS World News Roundup, presented by Indeed.com.
Good morning. I'm Steve Kathan. And there are dire warnings for people along the coast of the Carolinas and Virginia as powerful Hurricane Florence, with its top sustained winds of 130 miles an hour, closes in. WBBM-TV meteorologist Megan Glaros is watching it.
Landfall looks still to be sometime early Friday, but the question is, where? And does it stay off the coastline for longer? That would actually be a worse scenario as we move forward here, because if it rides off the coastline, that means you're getting the storm surge continuing, the winds continuing, the rain for a longer time period.
I'm Jim Crisul in Wilmington, North Carolina. A life-threatening storm surge over 20 feet is highly likely along parts of the coastal Carolinas. That's the sobering word from the National Hurricane Center, which says Florence is expected to slow down as it approaches the coast and moves inland.
Well, CBS's David Begno is along the North Carolina coast, where some new evacuation orders are just now in effect.
People living in Wrightsville Beach are bracing for a direct impact.
They got a long trip.
For Philip Payne, it meant packing up his truck and driving to Charlotte with his fiance and two dogs.
We're definitely going to get out of here, better safe than sorry.
As Florence closes in, stores in the Carolinas and Virginia have already run out of fuel, groceries, and generators.
Yeah, line up by your number.
In Raleigh, North Carolina, people waited for hours for store managers to restock the shelves.
You're not worried about staying behind?
No.
There are always those people like Mike White and his eight neighbors who have stocked up on essentials and plan to ride out Florence.
Virginia Governor Ralph Northam on CBS This Morning says there are places for people to go if they leave home.
We have a number of regional shelters and also state shelters, and you know, people don't necessarily have to go very far. They just have to go inland and to higher land where they're safer, because there are some very low-lying areas in coastal Virginia.
Hospitals are gearing up in the region, too. Dr. Antonio Pepe is at a hospital in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina.
We're writing this out. We have full teams in-house from a surgical, medical, and also OR readiness, and an ED that's ready for patients that may arrive during the storm.
President Trump's declared states of emergency for North and South Carolina and Virginia. White House correspondent Stephen Portnoy.
Insisting the federal government is as ready as anybody's ever been, the president warns those in the path of Florence to heed the advice of officials urging evacuations.
It's going to be really, really bad along the coast.
After an Oval Office briefing on the storm, Mr. Trump said it could be the worst East Coast hurricane in decades.
It's tremendously big and tremendously wet.
The president said his administration hasn't gotten enough credit for its response to Hurricane Maria.
I think that Puerto Rico was an incredible, unsung success.
Despite the fact that the storm has been blamed for nearly 3,000 deaths, Mr. Trump argues the government had to overcome the difficulties inherent in dealing with an entire island in crisis.
I think in a certain way the best job we did was Puerto Rico, but nobody would understand that.
Stephen Portnoy, CBS News, the White House.
Newly revealed documents indicate the Trump administration took money from FEMA, which will be part of the storm response, to help pay for immigrant detention centers, some $10 million out of its $15 billion budget. CBS's Jeff Pagaz.
In their response, a spokesman for the Department of Homeland Security said the funds cut from FEMA were from routine operating expenses and could not have been used for hurricane response. DHS also says that under no circumstances was any disaster relief funding transferred from FEMA to ICE services.
The UN is warning of a looming humanitarian crisis in the last rebel stronghold in war-torn Syria. We're live with CBS's Vicky Barker.
Some 3 million civilians live in this region controlled by an uneasy assortment of Islamist and secular rebel groups. Civilians in the path of a merciless Syrian military repeatedly accused of war crimes. The UN's Mark Lowcock appealing to President Assad.
You have no advantage in turning Idlib into one great big pile of rubble strewn with the corpses of 1 million children.
30,000 people have already fled, and the UN is warning that without a ceasefire, Idlib could become the century's worst humanitarian catastrophe. Steve?
The Utah Parole Board has ordered the release of 72-year-old Wanda Barzi 5 years early. She was convicted of assisting a street preacher in the 2002 kidnapping of teenager Elizabeth Smart. Smart was held for 9 months before her safe rescue. Barzi's sister told KUTV the release decision is incomprehensible.
She's mentally ill, terribly mentally ill, and she's very manipulative.
Smart, now 30 years old, says she's surprised and disappointed. Pope Francis meets tomorrow with U.S. cardinals and bishops amid the latest allegations about sex abuse and cover-up in the church. CBS's Bill Rakoff says embattled Washington Cardinal Donald Wuerl may revisit his plan to step down.
Wuerl says he will meet with Pope Francis in the, quote, very near future to discuss the resignation letter he submitted 3 years ago at the customary retirement age of 75. This after the grand jury report in Pennsylvania, which revealed allegations of abuse by more than 300 priests across the state, including the Pittsburgh Diocese, where Wuerl served for 18 years.
The Pope plans a February bishops' summit on clergy sex abuse. A Me Too activist group is calling on CBS to donate former CEO Les Moonves' $120 million severance package to survivor groups. The network is holding that in escrow pending the outcome of a sexual misconduct investigation. CBS has said it would donate $20 million. CBS This Morning co-anchor Gail King says the findings of that probe should be released publicly.
How can we have this investigation and not know how it comes out? Les Moonves has been on the record. He says, listen, he didn't do these things, that it was consensual, that he hasn't hurt anybody's career. And I would think it would be in his best interest for us to hear what the report finds out.
Authorities in Oregon say a missing hiker whose body was found this week was likely killed by a cougar. Diana Bober's sister says she was a seasoned hiker.
She fought pretty hard. They don't think the cougar came back. She died of her wound.
The job offers are rolling in for an actor who got plenty of attention for his current role off camera.
From the checkout counter to NCIS New Orleans.
Bang, 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 bang.
Former Cosby Show actor Jeffrey Owens has landed a guest role on CBS's NCIS. He'll play an old friend of Pride's, played by Scott Bakula, in an episode that'll air in late October. It's Owens' second TV gig since he was job-shamed after a fan posted a picture of him bagging groceries at a Trader Joe's in New Jersey. Last week, Tyler Perry cast him for a recurring role in his own series, The Haves and Have-Nots. Deborah Rodriguez, CBS News.
The first female mayor of Rabbit Hash, Kentucky, has died. She was 12, and she was a dog. Lucy Liu, a border collie, served from 2008 to 2016. A pit bull holds the office now. The town of 315 people holds these elections every 4 years as a fundraiser. That's the roundup. I'm Steve Kathan, CBS News.